Our first reading this morning comes from a blogger who actually got a book deal out of it because he was that good. And I got to see him when he came here to do a reading 2 years ago, I think. His name is Christian Lander, and his blog is stuffwhitepeoplelike.com. I thoroughly enjoy it, find it amusing, occasionally self-effacing, and wholly worth checking out. Awareness. An interesting fact about white people is that they firmly believe that all the world's problems can be solved through awareness. Meaning the process of making other people aware of problems, and then magically someone else, like the government, will fix it. This belief allows them to feel that sweet self-satisfaction without actually having to solve anything or face any difficult challenges. Because the only challenge in raising awareness is people not being aware. In a worst-case scenario, if you fail, someone doesn't know about the problem. End of story. What makes this even more appealing for white people is that you can raise awareness through expensive dinners, parties, marathons, selling t-shirts, fashion shows, concerts, eating at restaurants, and bracelets. In other words, white people just have to keep doing the stuff they like, except now they can feel better about making a difference. Raising awareness is also awesome because once you raise awareness to an acceptable arbitrary level, you can just back off and say, bam, did my part. Now it's your turn. Fix it. So to summarize, you get all the benefits of helping, self-satisfaction, telling other people, but no need for difficult decisions or the ensuing criticism. How do you criticize awareness? Once again, white people find a way to score that sweet double victory. Popular things to be aware of: the environment, diseases like cancer and AIDS, Africa, poverty, anorexia, homophobia, middle school, field hockey, lacrosse teams, drug rehab, and political prisoners.
The second reading today was posted to Unitarian Universalist Young Adult Network list in July 1998. In my work doing young adult networking and ministry, I have met many young ex-young religious Unitarian Universalists who still suffer from the loss of their beloved spiritual home in the vibrant and intimate Unitarian Universalist youth tribe. The absence of Unitarian Universalist Association young adult programming created a cliff at the end of the high school years instead of a bridge to a spirited Unitarian Universalist young adult 18 to 35 experience. The pain of seeing the wounded ex-youth combined with the hopes generated by the growing Unitarian Universalist young adult movement, including the very moving bridging ceremony, prompted me to write this fantasy letter from the denomination to the 90% of its children who never return home. Sharon Huang Colligan, San Francisco Congregation, age 29. A letter from the elders to all the UU youth who fell off a cliff. We're sorry. For all of you, our beloved UU youth, who were pushed from your spiritual home just because of a number or an age, we're sorry. For all who tried to walk to bridge to young adult community and found it led to nothingness, or worse, to injury at the hands of other UUs, further along the bridge to nothing, we're sorry. For you who search with such skill and energy in so many other places, trying and trying to find the home you have lost, we're sorry. You deserve better. You deserve your own natural UU home, the home you blessed with such powerful magic as a youth, the home that belongs to you. It was our mistake to send you away. We somehow imagined it would make you more free. In our own lives, most of us left the church of our youth. We thought that you must want to do the same. We forgot about the pain. We're sorry. We did not mean to stop loving you. We're working now on building a bridge. But we know that for a long time there was no bridge at all, just a cliff at the end of your childhood, or a bridge that led to something incomplete. A new young adult should be welcomed with joy, but instead we told you goodbye. We're sorry. We do love you. Some of you survived the abandonment and went on to shine bright and strong. From our distance, we do watch you proudly. Some of you fell hard and were hurt. In your eyes, we see your shock, anger, fear, cynicism, indifference, and loneliness. From our distance, we do weep in pain. Some of you tried to build the bridge yourselves, bravely, brick by brick, with no strong connection from the other side. We have watched the valiant half-bridge dwindle and twist, crumbling in its incompleteness, seen many young travelers fall, leap off in disgust, or even be thrown by protective bridge owners. From our distance, we kept quiet, telling ourselves that your loneliness was freedom. Some of you stubbornly climbed the cliff, returned to us, woke us from our trance of shame, demanded we write this apology, moved us at last to action. We do it gladly. We're sorry we sent you away. It was a terrible mistake. We love you. Please come home. We will make you a warm nest and a room of your own. We treasure the gifts that you give us. We're sorry we hurt you. Come home. Come home.
Denial, oh denial, oh denial, loving I.
Good morning. Before I start, I want to take a moment to speak to any of you who are new here. This isn't how things normally go on Sunday mornings. Not just the sound thing. I would encourage you to come and hear either of our ministers speak. What they say really gets me through the week sometimes. What I'm about to say is a little different. At the same time, if there's one thing I've found in my spirituality, it's that if you cannot be reflective or honest about where you and your fellows are, you need to change something, especially when it comes to our third principle, the acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. My name is Michael Dobson. I'm 34. I signed the membership book here in 2003 after coming since 2001. I carried your banner the entire 2+ miles of Pride in 2007. I've been an active Unitarian Universalist young adult, which is to say 18 to 35-year-old, and in those communities since I was 21 and a UU since I was 18. At several points, those young adult communities were the only things that kept me, like many of us, tied to our chosen faith. I've been outreach coordinator for the Ohio Meadville District UU Young Adult Network, or OMDUYAN, since fall of 2008. Before that, I was the OMDUYAN district governor for 4 years. I've also served for the last several years as worship coordinator for the local young adult group that meets out of Ohio State. I've had several people who know me and know this sermon topic do that thing and say that I shouldn't get mad or condemn. Can't be too negative now. I cannot say there is no anger in me on what I'm about to speak. And as with many things with anger, what lies beneath are sadness and fear, and I own these. After you hear what I have to say, you may have some anger, some fear, and definitely some worry. I'm hoping what I propose here may help us all fix some of these things. And I ask you, please, to at least listen. This denomination loses 90% of our high school youth after they bridge or age out of YRUU somewhere around 18 or 20. They do not return after they get married and have children, despite what we tell ourselves. These facts come from research from the UUA office in Boston. This trend has been going on, as you heard from Catherine's reading, for at least a decade, which is why in 2002, I was happy to see this congregation have a Mind the Gap service. You remember Mind the Gap, right? Well, it was an initiative that Boston set forth to address that 90% drop-off. And just like the first reading, we did really well with awareness on that subject. 9 years later, I stand in coffee hour at Sunday mornings. I'm usually the only one close to my age, at least. I do what I can to promote the young adult group that meets out of Ohio State and the young adult covenant group that meets here. I don't see more than a couple members of either, rarely, if I see any of them at all. Last year, there was a young adult listening session that was put on by the OMD's Young Adult and Campus Ministry Office that was held right here in this church. About a dozen of us showed up. It was 2 hours long, and half the people left halfway through. Of the half dozen who remained for the whole listening session, 3 or 4 of them said that they had 1 foot out the door. They were looking elsewhere for their spiritual needs. There was nothing for them here in First UU Columbus. That if anyone had had anything to say to them, it was to want something from them or to treat them not as an equal. So this is the part where I'm not supposed to get mad, right? Are you mad? That this is what's become of a UUA-recognized minority by age, 1 foot out the door? And before you say They'll come back when they have kids. Remember what the UUA says. They don't. Mark Bellatini, our senior minister, has talked a bit throughout the church year about a minister named Star King. Star King would go to the mining camps in rough country with rough individuals in California to preach abolition. He wasn't big like I am. He was probably scared, but he was constant. And why? Because back east he had a friend who was black, and he would not accept his friend being treated as any less than a full and equal human being. Well, I have many young adult and former young adult friends. Some, because of the goodness they found at some point or another among us, even have chalice tattoos. And I have watched these, I cannot tell you how many, dozens, over a decade active as a young adult, leave. They were real people, like my brother on the cover of your order of service. They did not leave happy, and they did not leave well. Flesh and blood, but also souls and hearts and minds. It is because of them that I speak before you now. So what do we do? And I say we because I can stand in coffee hour for another decade and invite people to a separate group, but I cannot change a congregation alone. We can look at the issues that lead to this exodus, age-related issues, economic issues, and how we set up our youth for what comes later, and we can address them. So some requests on the age-related issues first. Please don't call us the youth. Youth are people in junior high or high school. I was a youth once in a congregation down in Marietta, just like some of you were youth once in this congregation or other congregations. But then we both turned 20, and neither you nor I are our youth now. And yes, I know, young adult and youth, they do sound a little bit the same. It's not my favorite term. But young adult is the term that the UUA came up with to refer to those of us between the ages of 18 and 35. Please don't treat me like a child, or worse, your child. I know that sometimes it's a form that some take to try and bridge a nervous gap in conversation or interaction, and I get that and I appreciate that. It's a nice sentiment, but it can be a bit overly familiarizing. I'm not a child. I voted in 4 presidential elections. I own my own car. I've had the job that I have now for the last 6 years, and I've paid taxes for going on 2 decades. I know who my mother is. She's right here. Hi, Mom. And my father died 6 years ago. Please don't tell me I'll come back when I'm older, or worse, when I'm married with kids. Not just because my gay friends can't get married or biologically have the kids that you tell me I should by saying this, nor because some of my hetero-identified friends who've chosen to remain child-free will tell you that they're not breeding stock when they hear such things, but because I've been here for 10 years now, pretty much since I moved to Columbus. Please don't tell us that we're not interested in church or religious community because of our age. See the group on the cover of your order of service? That's last year's annual gathering of 18 to 35-year-olds in Illinois. They're mostly Americans, but there's some Canadians and a handful of British. We didn't come together by accident. We came together because church and religious community matter to us enough to travel great distances. Imagine what else we'll do when we're included. And many of us, myself included, have friends in other faith communities. We see their pictures and hear their stories of how they're welcome in those communities amongst those of their own age range. Similarly, please don't say that we're not worth including because we're in a time of transition and probably won't be around here long anyway. One of the ladies in her early 30s at last year's listening session retorted to this that she lived here and had her current job for the last 5 years. Also, you wouldn't stand for it if I said, you know, we shouldn't bother with those migrant workers in Arizona because they're just in a time of transition and they won't be sticking around the congregations down there, would you? Please don't come to me only when you need something done. As much as I find it interesting when decades of feminism are thrown out the window because I'm a big, strong young man who can help you move things, you may find it interesting that my ninth grade standardized test scores qualified me for Mensa if I'd chosen, and that I have 4 dozen books of poetry in my collection at home, or that I've had a hernia while going here. It's not that I'm not interested in helping. Ask Don Hippenstiel how many times I've helped him carry or move something. It's just that, well, Don also talks to me like I'm more than just brute labor, because it's the 21st century, and we should be beyond treating certain minorities like they're just a serving class. In fact, come to me not just when you need me to do something for you, but you have something cool or neat or interesting you think I should participate in, like that guy did there, and participate in as your equal. I may not be up for serving on your committee, but this doesn't mean I'm not up for just talking with you. And also, please don't take it personally when I say no. We have lives, some of us overcommitted, just as you do. We also may not feel like we're the right fit for what you're looking for. Either way, the right to decline should be a basic right regardless of age. To those of you who tell me that I'd be more accepted of my age if I served on a committee, that service equals citizenship, would you say this to any other minority that's currently underrepresented in this church? Never mind that among those of you of the normal age of this congregation, it's been noted that only about 20% of you serve on a committee. Please recognize that when we come here, we're looking for something we want and or need, which is a safe space, a place to socialize with like-minded individuals, a spiritual refuge and a feeling of home. I mean, you know how it is out there? When you turn on the TV, catch the news, hear the politicians or self-anointed cultural paragons, it's like that for us too, every day. We're progressive, tolerant, spiritual people like you who live in a world where that's not always okay. And your compassion and understanding and welcoming would help make things more okay. Think about how this congregation might have evolved meeting times and task schedules that are comfortable for you but may not work so well for others. That you have a regular volunteering at a soup kitchen is really great. That it regularly falls on Friday afternoons when me and most of my friends are at work, still great, but it's inaccessible. Have a soulful sundown worship service every now and then. Not just because it's a different kind of worship, but because you'll get more people my age if you have worship at some time other on Sunday mornings. And remember, we are your equals. Like you tell us when we come of age. Like you tell us when we walk in here every day, sometimes for our first time. We have your word on that, right? And now economics, and forgive me if this next part covers something that's more than just for 18 and 35-year-olds. Please don't expect that your congregation's return on its investment in ministering to us will come in the form of money right away. Think back to when some of you were in your early 20s, starting out after high school, or if you were lucky enough, maybe college. How many times did you barely make rent? I did. How many times did you look at your refrigerator with groceries in it and feel like it was a great accomplishment? No, my friends who wait tables and work food service and retail don't have a lot of extra money. Annual pledges can be a stumbling block for people in atypical financial situations. This doesn't mean that we won't pay later if you keep us around. Be wary of certain socioeconomic shibboleths that can come in a culture that goes on in this church. I'm making more in monthly salary in my job than I've ever made before. When you come up and ask me if I'm going to General Assembly, what I hear you asking is if I have several hundred to put down for registration, another 500 for the four-star hotel that I see all the pictures of everybody staying in and having fun in, and another 300 to 500 easy for airfare. And we're not even taking the cost of food or alcohol. All this plus me taking a week off of work. No, I have never had the money or the time to go to General Assembly. Similarly, when you ask me if I'm going to Summer Institute, $425 and another week off work may not be much for you, but that's pretty big for me. That's another month's rent right there. Instead of asking me what I can afford, ask me what I believe or think about something. Remember that there's a certain shame in this country, please, for those who may not have as much as you or I do. And no more is it felt when there's something you cannot afford and are asked to spend money you don't have. Those I speak of feel the shame in tipping their hand by having to say no, and shame is not welcoming. When planning something, ask who does the cost include and who does it exclude. As much as possible, make it as affordable as possible. Money is either the biggest barrier or the biggest open door, depending on which side you're on. And we're not all on the same side. And that has to be okay. Having run a job search group for a year and a half for some of you here, I know I'm not the only one who's seen harder times. And a word or two about our actual youth, those who are coming up now. If there was one thing the youth at District Assembly in 2010 wanted you, each and every one of you, to know, it's that we need more multi-generational congregations and activities in this denomination. I cannot evangelize on what they had to say enough. Activities that include people and not just in a tokenizing way. There are youth right now who plan events, worships, retreats, who run committees, and they do it with a drive and fire that would make any of us proud on a basic human level. They are our sisters and brothers, younger, yes, but no less so. And where are our youth? Yes, I am asking. Because I have to go to another city and chaperone a YRU UConn to find out how many youth go here. How am I to include somebody as my younger sibling? How am I to pass a torch onto someone when they're not here? Oh, I've heard it enough times. They like it off in their YRU U rooms. Okay, if that's all you've ever shown them, no kidding. I spent some time talking with the youth at the Spring YRU UConn this year. I was even invited to sit in on their philosophy workshop. The stuff they talked about there, a lot like what we talk here on Sunday mornings. Yes, their perspective is different. Mine is different from yours. I thought that was okay here, people having different perspectives. If we are really, really serious about addressing why we lose our youth when they age out of YRUU, why would they want to come to a full hour at the age of 18 at a place we send them out of early on, regularly, for their entire childhood? Has any other minority suddenly flocked to a table when their segregation's ended? They may be separate but equal down the hall, but at the end of Sunday morning, they're still down the hall. Out of sight, out of mind, those children. Dickensian in no small way. Why are they not included regularly once they finish coming of age? Why do my friends who come here who are in their early 30s have to go to two services if they want their 9-year-old daughter to both attend religious education and to sit in church with them so they can talk with her about what they heard and how it affects them, including her as Unitarian Universalists? Could religious education and YRUU group not go on between the two regular services, with maybe some adult religious education or Our Whole Lives sex ed or something that's equally engaging and possibly relevant for the parents going on as well? Instead of sending them off somewhere else, what are we doing to bring in and include our youth? Because the ugly statistics back it up. the ones we're sending somewhere else now, go somewhere else when they age out of YRUU. I saw 12 youth bridge or age out of YRUU at their spring con this year. It was a hard, hard emotional time for them. I could not pick one of them, let alone 90% of them, and say, you go away now, far away, and never come back because there is no place for you here, at least not until you're married and have children. I think you understand now why I felt anger over these things and sadness, and now why I felt fear. In the short run, it's personal. At some point, I'm going to have children of my own. I love coming to this church. I love the sermons. I love that moment of silence and a place to hold people dear in my heart. But when I have children, do I bring them to a place that tells me what I was told in YRUU? That you are the future? That you will be a full and equal citizen? Only to watch them grow up into a faith and a congregation that tells them they are literally not wanted until maybe they get married and have children of their own? Until they're my future age as a parent? Or do I take them to another liberal house of worship where it'll be okay if they're not heterosexual? If you were me and you'd seen what loss I've seen, where would you bring up your child? This is a very real quandary I'm facing. And with hardly any peers that go here of my age group to talk to help me out with it. In the long run, it's not just personal. And I mean that in the I could get hit by a bus and this stuff would still go down kind of way. See, a people that regularly accept 90% loss of their young, a people who hang on by the comparatively few to those lost new ones that come in, and we never follow up with how long they stay here, and we should, those new people. A people who don't keep those who they already have here. I was a history major. This is how cultures end. Because that is the cessation of how culture is passed on. That is how an institutional memory is lost. Even with its flaws, I believe the world is made better by having Unitarian Universalism in it. In some cases, I have seen this directly and personally. And no matter how we may be setting ourselves up for our own extinction, in our own lifetimes, as some among my age range truly fear, I would not see us go quietly into that long night. I would be lying if I told you that this has never kept me up nights before. What will my chosen faith look like when the baby boomers, who make up the majority of our congregations, are gone? Since it's Father's Day, a little bit about mine. My old man was in Vietnam. If there's one thing he taught me from his time there, it's that you don't leave someone behind. And you sure don't shrug it off like it ain't nothing if you did. My father went to powwows, and he danced in so many circles. There were no separate RE or YRUU rooms at powwows. When I went to my first one with him at 15, I danced in the circle just as welcome as he was. The stories, the culture, were just as open to him as they were to me. I asked him one time about the powwows and why he liked some more than others. He said something to me about how welcoming they were that I say to you now in relation to all that I have spoken here. It all comes down to how big you draw your circle. The brochure, the Ohio Meadville District Young Adult and Campus Ministry Office that inspired a bit of this sermon has this to say at the end. Do recognize that the absence of young adults in our congregation is a problem for all of us, and that there are solutions, and that our common goal is a community that welcomes and involves all generations. I would add to that as equally as possible.
Michael.